I'm Vermont Edition co-host Bob Kinzel. Just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. In his budget address in January, Governor Phil Scott said he'd like to see some changes made to the correctional system in Vermont in order to save the state money.
The correctional facility in Windsor has the highest per capita cost of any male facility across the state. We have a plan to close it and transfer each inmate. This move will save $3.5 million. And, as we have in the past, we'll work to move frontline employees into existing vacancies. In addition, we will expand the state's electronic monitoring and home detention program using existing resources. Implementing 24/7 electronic monitoring statewide will reduce the out-of-state caseload. Coupled with other corrections changes, we will save approximately $1.7 million.
But that point the governor made about reducing our out-of-state caseload is complicated. The question of having some people serve their prison sentences not in Vermont is one that continues to cause controversy. And it's been a complicated and expensive situation for our Department of Corrections. Vermont right now has 269 out-of-state prisoners, and they're on the move again, from Michigan to a state-run prison in Pennsylvania. This move comes just 2 years after they were transferred from prisons in Kentucky and Arizona to Michigan. And even if the caseload declines over the course of this new contract in Pennsylvania, Vermont will still have to pay for 250 prisoners a day. We're going to talk about the issue of out-of-state prisoners today, and we're joined by Corrections Commissioner Lisa Menard. Commissioner Menard, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Jane. It's great to be here.
Why the move to Pennsylvania? Why was this necessary? Just remind us.
Sure. This was necessary because GEO, our current housing provider, notified us in December that they would not be interested in pursuing an amendment to continue the contract. It was 2 years with 2 one-year amendment possibilities. Basically, we were 250 inmates in a 1,700-bed facility.
Because the Vermonters were the only inmates
exactly.
in this facility.
Exactly.
So this wasn't cost-effective for GEO Group?
I would say not.
And why was it something they were willing to do 2 years ago but not to renew now?
I can't say for sure, but I suspect, at least at that time, they thought they had other jurisdictions lined up, other states lined up to take the other beds, and it didn't come to fruition.
So they do have something else lined up now, do you know?
I don't think so. I believe, actually, that the facility is going to close.
So if GEO didn't want to renew the contract, and again, GEO Group is a for-profit prison corporation, and the contract before this in Kentucky and Arizona was run by Corrections Corporation of America, another for-profit corrections institution. Pennsylvania is a state-run facility. What's the difference in how those different prison systems operate in terms of a state-run system or a private prison system?
I think there's probably more oversight of a state-run system. Obviously, you know, in Vermont, we have a legislative oversight committee that meets with us regularly. We have direct involvement and access of citizens in the state. We have the inmates have the ability to reach out to any staff member in the state. Those are some of the
That doesn't
primary.
Happen with GEO Group?
It probably happens, but I think currently they're still reaching out through us, but the oversight is not necessarily through a legislative or governmental body.
Commissioner Menard, what was good about Pennsylvania? What led you to make that choice?
There were a number of positives, particularly the proximity to Vermont. It's much, much closer for families to be able to go visit in person. They have significant programming opportunities already in place. They have significant vocational and employment opportunities already in place. Again, a state-run system does come with some additional oversight on a governmental level. So those things were all positives, and the price as well.
Well, tell us about the price, because it is more expensive, isn't it, than what you were paying in Michigan?
It is. It is more expensive, but it is not more expensive than the other proposals we received. It's more than we're paying now, but less than we could have paid and less than we pay per day in Vermont. The price there per day per inmate is $72.
And what's the price per day per inmate in Vermont?
It varies from facility to facility, but it easily double that at some facilities.
And $72 per inmate per day in the Pennsylvania prison system. What were you paying in Michigan?
We were paying $62 a day, and it would have gone to, I believe, $64 a day had the contract continued.
And I say you, of course, this is taxpayer money. This
exactly.
This is funded by the state. Okay, so $72 per day now. And, you know, that's expensive, but less expensive than in-state costs per day. But I also understand that through this contract, you have to pay for 250 prisoners per day, even if we went down to, you know, 150 or 100 prisoners that are actually in Pennsylvania. Why?
That's correct. There is a floor to this contract of, as you said, 250 inmates. Unfortunately, there was the same floor or higher with all of the proposals that we received. It's primarily, we're talking 250 to 270 inmates. In most jurisdictions, that fills one unit in a facility. So it's really just to ensure their staffing costs for that unit are covered. It wouldn't make sense for them to have the empty beds now.
For the last few years, though, we've been reducing the number of out-of-state prisoners and either bringing some of them back to Vermont or things, you know, are changing throughout the system that have allowed us to have a
Yes.
reduced number of out-of-state prisoners. This seems to remove the incentive to bring inmates back to Vermont.
Yeah, I certainly understand that perspective. We are at less than half out of state than we were 5 years ago. I'd say less than a third of where we were projected to be out of state. From my perspective, I don't think it removes the incentive. I think that it's our mission to reenter people into the community when it is safe to do so. That won't change. Yes, we will continue to pay, and that's not a good model. I think that as the number gets dramatically lower, if the number gets dramatically lower, then that's another conversation that we'll have to have, either with Pennsylvania or look to another vendor. There is a six-month out in this contract, as is standard with any contract.
And how long is the contract for without, you know, obviously that six-month out if you need to end it, but how long is it for?
It's for 3 years.
Okay. So, you know, you say it doesn't remove the incentive and prisoners get released, you know, based on the sentences they're serving and a bunch of other factors. But if it could cost significantly more to have a prisoner in-state than it does out-of-state and you have to pay that out-of-state per prisoner per day cost, why do you – I mean, how can that not remove the incentive?
Again, we have a statutory obligation. We have a dual mission, public safety, rehabilitation. Our mission isn't to keep people in jail to keep beds full. It's to get people to the community.
Well, sure. I'm not saying that. But let's say you have some open beds in Vermont prisons.
Yes.
That you could move somebody from Pennsylvania into a Vermont facility.
Okay.
And they're still going to be serving time.
Right.
It's just where is the question. It seems to me that there's less of an incentive to move that person back to Vermont because you're paying less for them in Pennsylvania. I mean, if we're just talking dollars here, you're paying less for them in Pennsylvania and you're going to pay for that bed no matter what.
Okay, thank you. That's much clearer. Again, I would say if we don't fill the Vermont bed, it forces the per diem higher in Vermont. So if we have an empty bed, we're paying more in Vermont per inmate by not filling it. So it's a wash, perhaps, but
okay.
It's just better practice. If we have an empty bed in Vermont, let's bring someone back to be in that bed, to be closer to their family, to be doing their reintegration work closer to their community.
I understand there's also some concern about overcrowding in the prison system in Pennsylvania and that there are actually facilities in Pennsylvania that are closing and that there may be they're not just at capacity in the prisons that the Vermont inmates will be going to, but they're operating at emergency capacity, which is basically, as I can see it, over capacity.
Mm-hmm. I heard that as well, and we did check into that. And what we found is that they have 5,000 empty beds in their system. It's a 40,000-bed system. It's massive. They have 5,000 empty beds, and they can move inmates around to those beds, which creates the capacity for Vermont in the facilities that we're scheduled to go into. Additionally, they have a new prison scheduled to open, I believe, June or July of this year.
So you expect that that kind of bottleneck will be no longer a problem come June or July?
My understanding is that we have – the Vermont prisoners have ample space, separate space, and it doesn't appear to be an issue. But again, they have the capacity to move their inmates around.
We've been hearing this perspective from the corrections department, but this obviously affects real people who are incarcerated and have to make this move. Last night, we got a message from someone mentoring one of the prisoners who will be moving to Pennsylvania, a man named Eric Daly, who's serving 26 years for vehicular manslaughter and other charges stemming from a 2003 incident where Daly killed a state trooper. This morning, I spoke with Daly about what the move means for him.
This call is from a correction facility and is subject to monitoring and recording.
Hi, Eric. This is Jane Lindholm at Vermont Public Radio.
Hey, what's going on?
So first of all, just tell me your name and how we should identify you so we have that on tape. I'm rolling tape.
My name is Eric Daly. I'm a prisoner. I've been in 14 years, and I may have another 12 to go.
And right now, you're at the correctional facility in Michigan?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know when you'll be moving to one of the two prisons in Pennsylvania?
We don't know the exact time. That's a security risk for us to know when exactly that we're leaving. But we do know that we will probably be out of here before June 14th sometime. So sometime after the 1st and before the 14th.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's another move. I mean, it's more stuff you lose. It's another unknown environment. It was better when we came here to Michigan, just in the regards that we knew that we were going to be the only ones here. So at the end of the day, we don't know what we're walking into in Pennsylvania. It's new personalities all over again. It's not a fun experience. It definitely wears on the mind and mentally, physically. It's not good. It's not conducive to any kind of rehabilitation to continuously move inmates around.
One of the arguments in favor of Pennsylvania is that it's closer to Vermont. And I believe you're from Lebanon, New Hampshire?
Yeah, my father lives in Springfield, and my mother lives in right close to Keene in Fitzwilliam.
Okay. So would this make it easier for your loved ones to be able to visit you?
I mean, we're still out of state. We're still 10 hours away, whether it's 10 or 16. If people are going to travel, they'll travel 16. If they're going to travel, 10. So essentially, it being that much closer, it's really not. You know what I mean? Like, it's still a task. It's still a weekend. It's still a loss of job time for them. So it's still a problem regardless.
You know, Eric, I think one of the things that I'm sure you have heard is that people will say, look, you're in prison for a crime that you have been convicted of, and why should we care whether you like it in Michigan better than Pennsylvania? How do you respond to that?
What people, they don't seem to understand or just plain out ignore, choose to ignore, is the fact that probably about 90 to 95% of your inmate population is going to get out at some point. And like, you take myself, for example, I got a 26-year minimum. They're going to keep me in prison, in with a bunch of other criminals, unrehabilitated criminals, for the next 26 years, okay? And then they're going to want to program me for 6 months and then let me out the door? Why wouldn't you want to make the place the safest possible place, the most rehabilitative place that you could possibly put us in, if you're going to let us out the door at some point? Because I'm guaranteed to get out the door at some point. There's like there's 90% of the inmate population that's guaranteed to get out the door. So wouldn't you want them in the best possible position? Because going into PA, we're going to have extremely lack of programs and jobs there. So we're just going to be left to our own devices.
One of the other questions about Pennsylvania is how crowded it is. Can you tell me what it's like to be in a facility? Do you know what it's like to be in a facility where it's very crowded versus one that it's not so crowded? What's the difference for you?
I mean, it's more dangerous, obviously, because you got people living on top of each other on a constant basis. There's more altercations. It's not a happy environment, not at all. And especially in a place where we're 47,000 inmates, we're going to get lost amongst a crowd, and we're not going to get paid much attention to because we'll be Vermont inmates in a Pennsylvania facility. So we'll probably be left. We're going to be segregated, which isn't going to make us look good amongst the Pennsylvania inmates. So when we are mixed on. In whether it be in the chow hall or the rec yard or maybe a program that we may be possibly to get into, we're going to be looked at differently.
We're going to be speaking with Commissioner Menard. You know, she's not here with us right now as you and I have this conversation, but what would you like her to know? What do you want to pass on to her?
Like, there has to be more programs and more jobs available, because without the jobs, I can see the violence getting turned up. Because if there's no jobs, it means people ain't going to have money for their commissary. People ain't going to have money to call home. They ain't going to have money to contact their families. And that's a big thing. Because that wears on our mental stability.
What kind of programs would you like to have?
I mean, I would love to have some sort of college education. We haven't had any college education since we've been out of state. The only college education we have is if we get into some correspondence course. So, I mean, how am I supposed to better myself at all if they're not going to offer me anything to do so?
So, Eric, if I understand you, what you're worried about the move because it's disruptive and, you know, you're going into an unknown. But also, if you have to move, you'd like to have more education and more other options for work and programming. If those conditions were met, would you feel more comfortable with the move to Pennsylvania?
Well, of course, because I'd be going into a more positive environment, and it definitely would alleviate a whole lot of stuff, but I just don't ever see it happening, because it's all about the almighty buck when it comes down. It shouldn't be just about that. That should be also a consideration, and I get that. But like I've said before, we're getting out someday. You should do everything you possibly can to make us better, to help us get better, because there's guys in here that want to get better that don't have the options. Every other state has better options than Vermont has.
Well, Eric, I know we're running short on time here, and I just want to say I appreciate you calling us and sharing your perspective. And, you know, it's really, I think, important to be able to hear from the inside what this move means to you. So I really appreciate you taking
you
the time.
You have 1 minute remaining.
I mean, there's so much other stuff that we could get into as far as it goes with, like, the problems in Vermont with the lack of good time and the fixing the Vermont systems, because we don't want to go back to Vermont. There's the majority of inmates don't want to be back there because the Vermont system is so broken, because of the staff harassment, because of the no-contact visits. And there's just so much other stuff that would fix this whole stuff to where we wouldn't have to be out of state. But Vermont refuses to fix those things that are in state, and that's something they should really focus on at some point.
Well, Eric, you've given us a lot to talk with Commissioner Menard about. Again, I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Eric Daly, an inmate serving a 26-plus-year sentence outside of Vermont. I spoke with him this morning, and we're speaking live this hour with Vermont's Corrections Commissioner, Lisa Menard. Just a minute ago, we heard Eric Daly, who is currently a prisoner in Michigan, in the Michigan facility, and will be moving to Pennsylvania, explain a little bit about, from his perspective, what the move to Pennsylvania feels like and some of his concerns. And Commissioner Menard, I'd love it if you could address some of the things that came up in that conversation. And let's start with the issue of programs,
sure.
Job training and education. This is not the first time that question has been raised. In fact, it was raised when the inmates were moving from Kentucky and Arizona to Michigan. There was a concern that there would not be very good job training or educational programs, that inmates would struggle to have that kind of training that they say, that Eric says, helps him be a more productive citizen when he comes out. And Eric Daly told us that the new contract with Pennsylvania requires Pennsylvania to provide GED level education, but not beyond that. Can you address that?
That particular piece, I believe that In Pennsylvania, that is their policy. They provide GED level Vermont. We have the Community High School of Vermont. We provide high school diplomas. That's not the case in Pennsylvania. So that's an opportunity that is a little bit different. It is still an opportunity.
If you need a GED.
Exactly, if you need a GED. For those who are looking for college-level courses, I'm not sure. I don't have that level of detail about what Pennsylvania offers or if it's available. It's not available in Michigan. And in fact, it's only recently available in Vermont at the women's facility, and we do have a pilot upcoming at the Newport facility. So that's not a widespread availability. And it's interesting. I certainly don't want to minimize anything he said. He made some very valid points. Particularly, I think the most compelling and important piece, the takeaway for me, is 90% of the population is getting out. That is huge. That's important, and I don't want to minimize any of that, and I want to speak to that in a minute. But much like when we went from CCA in Kentucky to Michigan, there were huge concerns. People didn't want to go, and now they don't want to leave. So there are some clearly, you know, moving is difficult. It's difficult for anyone, and imagine what it's like when you have no control over it.
And you're moving to a place where your population, the Vermont inmates, have been the only population in that Michigan prison. And now you're moving into a situation where there are a lot of other people, and that dynamic and the interaction between the Vermont inmates and, as he said, the Pennsylvania inmates is a real unknown and potentially, you know, scary for people.
Absolutely. And I'm, again, not minimizing those concerns. My understanding, my belief, is that Pennsylvania does have a robust program opportunities. They do have a significant amount of employment opportunities should people choose to avail themselves of those opportunities.
Would the Vermont inmates be last in line to get those, though?
That's not my understanding. They will be treated under the Interstate Compact as if they are a Pennsylvania inmate for those purposes. I also understand that Pennsylvania has a policy that for people who want a job, but for a reason beyond anything to do with their willingness, that they can't get a job, they will pay them. There is a payment for people who want to get a job but are unable to get a job for reasons that are beyond their control.
Like what? What's an example of that?
You know, I don't know examples. I would say, for example, my guess would be somebody who may have a disability for a certain type of job. Potentially, it's that there's a waiting list for a particular type of job. But my understanding there is, for lack of a better term, some type of stipend for those who want to work.
Eric told us that there was an option for Vermont to remain in the Michigan facility, but that Vermont DOC didn't take up that opportunity. And it sounded like it would have been much more expensive and that the security level would be different. Is that true?
That is true. GEO in Michigan is one of the facilities that gave us a proposal. But he's right. The per diem was higher. There were less beds than we needed. And there weren't multiple security types. There were basically general population, lower level. And that doesn't take away the concern that if there's no one else coming into the facility, would we be reengaging in that conversation or negotiation a month, 6 months, a year from now?
So the question is not – it's not exactly accurate to say that GEO didn't want to – or wasn't willing to renew a contract. It wasn't willing to renew a contract at the same terms as the one that we'd had for 2 years.
No. They did, in fact, send a letter terminating the contract. However, when we started looking for other beds, they did put a proposal forward.
So one of the other things that that has come up in this question of the move is of belongings that inmates are allowed to take from Michigan to Pennsylvania. And the rules in Pennsylvania are different. And so in some cases, gaming devices are not being allowed. TVs, I understand you've made some special arrangements. So inmates who purchase TVs in Michigan may be able to take them to Pennsylvania. But there are some questions about gaming devices that inmates have spent a lot of money on that they may not be able to take. And there, you know, that question of what can you take that's a belonging of yours that you may have an attachment to that you've spent a lot of money in is a significant concern for many people.
I agree. It is significant. The TVs, let me respond to that first. Yes. The inmates in Michigan ordered TVs. They came in with black backing versus translucent or clear backing. And instead of sending them back, they were allowed to stay at the facility. So we did have Pennsylvania agree that they would honor that, because that is a tremendous expense. The gaming devices is a little bit different. Pennsylvania doesn't allow them. At the same time, were these inmates returning to Vermont, nor does Vermont. We don't have Xboxes or PlayStations in Vermont facilities, so they would not be allowed here either.
And tablets? There are some tablets?
Yes. Tablets is an ongoing issue that is still being discussed. There has been nothing finalized. Right now, it looks like they will not be able to bring their current tablets. We continue to have conversations about that. I know the vendor that they bought the tablets from is working with them to find ways to save the content that they paid for that are on those tablets. But again, it's an issue that we continue to look at, and I understand their concerns.
Let's go to Tom, who's calling in from Westford. Hi, Tom. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I had a comment, and actually I have three comments, and I had a question for Commissioner Menard. Commissioner Menard, when you were asked about the difference in cost for keeping prisoners in Vermont versus out of state, you gave a high number of it costs double the amount, but you didn't give a low number, and I was wondering what the low number was. And then the comments I had were several. I think we have a responsibility to our prisoners to keep them in our state. And the second comment I had was, well, it's more of a question, too. Why is it so much more expensive to keep prisoners in Vermont than it is to keep them in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
And then the last comment I had was, as far as rehabilitation, which is, I think, probably one of the purposes of sending people to prison, it just seems to me, as Joe Blow off the street here, that keeping somebody in state closer to home, closer to relatives, is just going to be much more beneficial overall.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for your comments and your questions. Commissioner Menard, do you know what the low end is of the cost per inmate per day in Vermont?
I was frantically doing math as he was asking the question, and I did not accomplish that feat. What I can tell you is that annually, an annualized cost in Vermont is anywhere from $50,000 at a work camp and up to $82,000 at the Windsor facility, for example. And some of the reasons that it costs more in Vermont are candidly the size and conditions of the facilities. You're talking facilities of 100 beds, 130 beds, 150 beds. Our largest facility is, just over 400 beds. They have to be staffed the same. They have to, every post has to be filled. There's a post for every unit. Small, inefficient facilities, many very old with maintenance needs, ongoing needs, poor lines of sight, that type of thing. They cost more to operate.
So when we talk about out-of-state prisoners, the conversation many times focuses on, can we bring all of the prisoners back to Vermont? Why do we have prisoners who are out-of-state? And those are almost two separate conversations in some ways.
Right.
But can you talk a little bit about that? First of all, why do we have any prisoners who are serving time out-of-state? Mm-hmm. And is the aim to bring all of them back?
Currently, there are let's say 1,750. It's close to that. 1,750 inmates serving time, Vermont inmates serving time. In state, there's that would make it about 1,500. That fills the beds in state. There just are not enough beds. That's why there are inmates out of state. We don't have the bed capacity in state. To the other question, well, why do we need that bed capacity? Could we reduce the population? I assume that would be what people would ask. 250 doesn't sound like a lot of people, but as a percentage of our population, that's 15% of your incarcerated population to simply say, could you release them? I think our numbers show we have made significant effort to release people, and I think we've come to a point where we may have a pretty stable population, the population we're going to have for a while. Even those people who are, you know, within a window of release and get released, some will come back. Let's say we were able to put out 260 people into the community today. You would still have in-state beds at capacity so that, let's say, something happened. There was a large concert venue hit Vermont and their police had to lodge 50 to 100 people. We would have no bed capacity in the state to be able to manage that.
Build a new facility.
Well, that's a conversation that has started to happen. Not that directly, but some of what was discussed this year in the legislature was really looking at not just how many beds you have, but what kind of beds do you have? What kind of facilities do you have? Even if you had only 1,500 inmates and 1,500 beds, do you have the right facilities to accommodate the needs of inmates with mental illness issues? Do you have the right beds to accommodate inmates that are geriatric and have the issues that come with that? The Secretary of the Agency of Human Services, Al Gobay, that's one thing that he has been tasked with looking at. What are the needs in state, not just for the Department of Corrections, but for the Department of Mental Health, the Department of Children and Family Services, the Woodside facility? He's going to be looking at all of those, and that should drive a conversation about what facilities do we need, how big, how many, where.
Well, we're going to talk about that in some of these larger questions when it comes to corrections and some of the needs of our population who's involved in the corrections situation and in these facilities, because that question of mental health, that question of how do you help and treat and take care of geriatric inmates is a big one for the state of Vermont and, of course, for the correction system across the country. We've been talking a little bit about why Vermont prisoners who are serving time out of state we'll be moving from a facility in Michigan to two prisons in Pennsylvania. And surrounding that, this conversation about why Vermont has prisoners who serve time out of state and what that means for our corrections system. Kate is calling in from Fairhaven. Hi, Kate. Go right ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Well, thanks.
I just have a few comments kind of from the inside. I'm not a prisoner. I'm a parent. And I would like to talk from a parent's perspective about this situation, and I've come to be experienced in the prison system through the opposite, you know, from the opposite, you know, end of the spectrum, I guess I would say, than a prisoner. I heard Eric earlier. He was quite eloquent, I thought. But I was shocked, actually, when I first started visiting my young daughter. My daughter's in her early 20s in prison. First, it was in Vermont prison, and then she was transferred pretty frequently, maybe every 3 weeks, to a New York prison right across Lake Champlain. And there are minor details that affect a prisoner's life that I don't think you've touched on yet regarding going out of state. Most prison systems have different phone systems, so the money you put on one system, it takes a month to get the money off that phone system to put the money back on the new system. Unless you're wealthy, you have to wait for that refund, so that's a 3 to 4 week refund, so people are without communication with their families. Their families, there's no real way, apparently, I've been told, to communicate with families regarding an imminent move to another prison. And I know you're talking about the Pennsylvania move, which I'm sure has been in the works for a while. But there are also other moves that you haven't touched on from state to state, from Vermont to other states, that happen all the time and very, very frequently and were quite surprising to me.
Kate, can I just ask you, for your situation with your daughter moving to a prison system in New York, was this through the federal prison system? I'm not familiar with Vermont inmates moving to New York.
In the Vermont prison system and ultimately moved to the federal prison system.
Okay. Kate, I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts and your concerns and your perspective as a parent. And certainly, Commissioner Menard, I mean, one of those questions of wanting to be able to communicate with your family member who is inside and that that difficulty when moves happen, of not only is it disruptive, but it can be hugely damaging to that connection, that family bond or personal bonds and relationships that you have with other people.
Mm. Absolutely. Those are all, again, very valid points. In general, about this move to Pennsylvania, much like we did in the move from Kentucky to Michigan, we arrange ahead of time to have the money taken from one account placed into the other account. And on those occasions where it can't happen, there are funds set aside so that we can then put money on an inmate's account. That is extremely important. To her other point, though, about movement within the state, there are many times population moves or other types of moves from facility to facility in Vermont. And Kate was absolutely right. We don't give notice on those, but we don't give it for a very good reason, and that's security and safety. However, we are trying very hard to make these, when they can be planned, as least disruptive as possible, particularly if somebody has visiting scheduled. We try not to do it the day before they have visiting scheduled, that type of thing.
Let's go to Logan calling in from Manchester. Hi, Logan. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jane. My question is about who gets to be incarcerated in-state versus who gets transferred out-of-state. How does the state and the court system make that decision?
Logan, good question. Commissioner Menard?
That is a good question. The court system really doesn't chime in on that particular conversation. They sentence people to the Vermont Department of Corrections. We then look at a series of criteria, one being the length of your sentence and how long you have to serve until you're within a program window. For example, if you have programming to complete but your minimum is 5 years away, You are more than likely, given our current bed capacity, to find yourself out of state. We also look for people who are more healthy, obviously, than others, don't need as many medical trips type of thing. We also look at children. If these men have children.
Because it's only the men who move out of
correct,
state.
Correct. Correct. We do make an effort certainly to consider that. And for those who have children who visit them regularly, we try to keep them in state. We can't do that in every case. And for those who do end up going out of state, we make every effort to rotate them back to Vermont periodically to make sure they can maintain those relationships.
If we had today 250 beds open, could we move every out-of-state prisoner back to Vermont? Does Vermont have the security level that is necessary? I mean, isn't that one of the issues with some inmates who need a higher level of security that we just don't have in Vermont?
That is one of the issues. There are others. If we had 250 beds, you wouldn't necessarily all 250 may come back, but others may then need to go out. There are also issues of Vermont is an incredibly small system in a small state. We have co-defendants. We have people who have testified against each other. We have people who held positions of prominence or authority in the community and then commit crimes and come to jail. And we need to be able to house them elsewhere. So
we couldn't move every single inmate back to Vermont even if we had the bed capacity?
Not necessarily. There may always be an occasion that there would need to be an inmate out of state. Not 250, but some.
Let's go to Joel, who's calling in from Brattleboro. Hi, Joel. Go right ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I've been done with the Department of Corrections in Vermont for quite a few. And I was wondering if they're offering the same kind of rehabilitation services that Vermont offers in the prison system to the inmates that are out of state, because it just seems that, I mean, I was probably one of the only guilty guys I knew in prison. Seems like everybody's innocent. But, you know, once you start looking into your behavior, they were really open there to the rehabilitation. They offered great things. And I was just wondering, are they offering the same kind of, like, group settings or,
Joel,
you know,
can I ask you what you took advantage of in the Vermont system that you felt was really helpful?
Well, first of all, taking my own responsibility for the reason that I was there was one of the biggest things. But, you know, once I got to that spot, there was lots of support to change my cognitive thinking on, you know, my behavior that got me here in the first place. And it was a, you know, I mean, every day was spent, you know, waiting for the time when I could leave. But, you know, spending that time really contemplating on the reason that I'm there, the help around in the system, I was in the Springfield facility, was pretty great. And I'm just wondering if they're, you know, the inmates in Michigan, I get a couple letters each month from a couple people that are out there, if they're just getting the same kind of, you know.
Yeah, Joel, I hear what you're saying, the same kind of help. And it sounds like, you know, at least what we heard from Eric Daly is no, and that there's a concern that there may not be the same level of support and help making sure that you are making the right choices and making sure that you are in the best position for when you do get out to be to reintegrate into society and have a chance of succeeding. Commissioner Menard?
Sure. First of all, Joel, it's great to hear your story and congratulations. That's great to hear. To my knowledge, yes, Pennsylvania will offer robust programming. Will it be exactly the same as what is in Vermont? Not necessarily, but when you're talking about cognitive behavioral courses and curriculum, they should be much the same. And I want to point something out, and I meant to speak to this when Eric was – after Eric talked as well. We will continue to have corrections casework staff very involved and there in person in Pennsylvania. We're not just abandoning these inmates. We want to continue to ensure that they do what they need to do because they are going to get released.
To that question of getting released and where you serve your time, Eric did say from his experience, most of the inmates who are serving time outside of Vermont don't want to serve in Vermont. They don't feel like Vermont has a good correction system. Do you disagree?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do disagree. Yes. I think we do have a very good correctional system. We have a very progressive, very innovative correctional system. We use evidence-based practices. There's no question we have a good system. We have a very small system, a very tight system. I do think that there is some benefit to inmates who are serving long periods of time to be in larger facilities. More room, more opportunity.
So bottom line, do you have a number of inmates you think that we will have in our system in Vermont for the next coming years? I mean, we're always trying to reduce it, but that also takes a societal shift. Where are we likely to get to?
The quick answer is we'll have 1,500 inmates in our system in Vermont because that's how many beds we'll have in the foreseeable future. Until we're below 1,750, we'll continue to be out of state. We continue to work to move inmates out as long as it is done safely into the community. We'll continue to do that. I think our best opportunities are to keep people out of the correction system who make mistakes versus are criminals and need more. I think Vermont has done a remarkable job on that. I think we can continue to do more. And if we can drop the caseload by attrition and not add to it by bringing in people who don't need to be there, we're going to continue to make progress.
Lisa Menard is the commissioner of the Vermont Department of Corrections. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.